In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I'll read the Word of God, a short portion from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, verse 20, in Jesus' name. Notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Dear hearers of God's word, brothers and sisters, here at the Ranoa Opisto, and those of you listening on the radio, this text are the words of Jesus to his disciples, and here he speaks of rejoicing and of joy. When I thought about this, I thought to ask in the beginning from you service guests, what matters have you rejoiced of or been happy about? What have you rejoiced of today or even this summer? We have been able to we have had a beautiful summer. We have gotten enough rain and enough weather, and the Lord himself has arranged this. Children have been able to enjoy summer vacation. And also you others have been able to enjoy some vacation. And then I consider that two have gotten places to study in our family, and they have rejoiced of this. And those who have gotten a place at the Opisto have also rejoiced when this information came. We rejoice of these mutual gatherings to which we have been able to gather many times at these big services and otherwise. We rejoice also when we see each other's faces, and we've been able to see closer and even more distant relatives. And we rejoice when we're able to see them, when we have this peace of God which lives in our heart, which is seen in the faces of us believers. In our family, we rejoiced of this when our son had a cast on for some time, and we were able to go to this new hospital, and this wise doctor said that it was not a broken bone, but we can take off this cast. They were sorry that the cast was put on, but we were happy that the cast came off and he was able to swim. A few weeks ago, this boy was at this confirmation, and we are rejoicing of this as parents. That there were friends for him, and we rejoiced of this, that this matter of faith is important to our dear youth. And we rejoice of this, that God has blessed this work in this way, that we have a wonderful staff and priests who get along with the youth and the youth like. And it is an important matter. And we want to thank you, and we want to thank the Lord for this. I don't know if I've been able to rejoice of this work, this turn of speech, but the Heavenly Father has wanted to care for me in this through this. And there are these topics of joy, smaller and larger, in our lives. And it's good to stop and consider what has brought joy in my life, and this joy which I have been able to experience, dear service guest. We have such a situation that I hadn't been able to rejoice of. Whether there's an illness for oneself or a close one, it could be that a dear one has recently been taken away, even maybe during this summer, and it has brought sorrow. And there's sorrow over one's own children, even during this time, restless time, it can press down the mind. It could be that the strength is little in the midst of a big family, and there are many worries, and there are these maybe these kinds of feelings that I am alone. There may be a lonely place of watching. That have everybody rejected me? Has everyone rejected me? And I want to say to you, service guest, in these feelings which you have come and with which you have come to these services, it's good that you came here and that you are here or at the right near the radio. Our Redeemer wants to today approach you and me and embolden you. That you would cling to the promises of God's word and you can be blessed and secure and you can believe all your sins and temptations forgiven in Jesus' name and atonement blood. In our text, before our text, it tells how Jesus had sent his disciples on a journey. And there's maybe these 12 closer disciples were with him, but he also had other disciples. In this beginning of this, that the Lord had chosen 70 and sent them by two and two to every city and place whither he himself would come. Then he guided them and said, therefore said he unto them, that I am sending you like sheep in the midst of wolves. Have you, dear service guest, felt that we are like sheep in the midst of wolves? That the pressures of this time, we want to function according to on the foundation of God's word and in his word of love and truth. And this is a difficult matter today. But the words of Jesus, which he taught to the disciples, was this, that when you go to a house, give them greetings and tell them, peace be unto this whole house. And if we could only hear this message of peace, it seems that there's so much conflict and judging and those things which trouble the mind, that we would hope that this message of peace would be heard more. And these disciples, who were such a great throng, or with their Lord in the work of God's kingdom, and they were called into this work. How has it felt to you when you have had to take responsibilities at these services? How has it felt when you have been called into this work of God's kingdom? This call is many times pleasant, but often we are slow to go. A week ago, I heard on the service radio a brother who was interviewed when he was put into the duty of a servant of the word, And if I could understand what him when he told how he had such a, there was a thought that why he would have willingly turned his skis to a different direction than when this call from God's kingdom came. But God was able to care for this person, that these skis nevertheless fortunately turned into the correct direction. This always speaks to me, the situation of the disciples when the Lord asked them to follow him. Matthew wrote in his gospel how Peter and his brother Andreas, when God called them, when Jesus called them, that they left their nets right away and they went to follow Jesus. Or when James and his brother John, when they were called by God, Matthew writes that they left their boats and their father and went to follow Jesus. The Lord himself, it was easy to go. But even today, when the call comes from God's kingdom to work, whatever the work duty is, we could think and believe that the Lord himself is calling us. We are lacking and we become tired many times, and this work can many times tire us. In the midst of everyday life, it would have been better for someone else to do it. But we receive so much joy from these duties that it pays to go. It tries us and our families, but we could all join in this, that it pays to go. As workers of God, we take work in our own turns, and it's important that we receive this call. Whether this call comes to you, boys or girls, or youth or elders, or whatever work one is able to do, it is important that we are obedient, that God is the best employer when he has promised that he will richly bless the obedient child. The work of the disciples had succeeded and they were happy of this, and we are happy that the work of God's kingdom succeeds. The word of God is heard around the world, and our children and our youth and the older ones have many things to do and many programs that they can hear God's word. And in this time, there are many of those who have given up their faith. They have not been able to cling to this eternal gift and keep it as the most important matter in life. And for this reason, too, it's important that we are able to do this work. God gives his power to us for this, and we can be certain of this, that he will bless the work of his kingdom. Jesus had an important message to the disciples and to us today. And in the language of this time, the disciples returned from this trip and they were able to give high fives, and they were satisfied that the work was successful and it had been succeeded. But what did Jesus want to say to them? Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Jesus wanted to remind them what is important. The Bible translation says this, that rejoice more of this, that your names are written in the book of life in heaven. He didn't diminish their joy, but he wanted to emphasize this one matter, which is important, finally, that this, that your name and my name is written in the book of life in heaven. Have you, dear, isn't this an important matter to you, dear listener, that just your name is written in the book of heaven, and your children and youth and adults and elders, service guests, when our name is written in the book of heaven, we can, as a free child of God, rejoice of these gifts which God has so richly given to us in this time. There are so many good matters that we can do, and how we can care for our family and be with our friends and do and work with a free mind and heart when our name is in the book of life in heaven. A beautiful song of Zion is sung that in your youth you have probably liked to sing this song, that faith does not reject life. Faith does not reject life. It may seem from the outside that there are many rules and warnings against doing things, but it is written that all of these are all forbidden in for the youth and God, the Lestadians group. And why do we want to live according to God's word? And why do we want to live as believers have lived before? It doesn't seem to us to be such a forbidding thing. And it is such a joyous thing, as the disciples experienced in this portion. It's the same joy. And why do we want to believe this way? In this same song, it says, and heaven is our destination. And for this reason, dear ones, we want to live as God's word teaches. The disciples asked Jesus when they had left their boats and their masters, and they left their former work behind them, and they begin to follow Jesus. They asked from Jesus, that what is the benefit to us that we have left everything to follow you? Jesus said to them, and he says to us, and we say to you, dear listener, today, that in this time, there is a great blessing. You and I and all of us, we can in many times we receive hundredfold more than what we have lost by following Jesus. And still at the end, that in heaven is our destination, and Christ, Jesus Christ, promises to his disciples that we have the hope of eternal life. And eternal life is the final reward. Certainly, almost all of you have been at a wedding celebration. And in our family, we were able to celebrate our first wedding celebration about a year ago. And we wanted to say that it is a precious and beautiful matter when young couples and you dear older couples who have gotten married at an older age, it's a beautiful matter when a couple want to be tied in this holy matrimony which God has established. In these wedding celebrations, there's this guest book where all the wedding guests write their names, and the celebration ends and the married couple leaves. But John writes in the letter, in the Revelations, he who wins will receive the robe of righteousness, and I will write his name in the book of life in heaven, and I will know him before my Father and his angels, and we will be able to dress ourselves in this white raiment. And John writes of this celebration of the wedding, that it will once begin. And when we are marked in this guest book, all the children of God are marked in this book of celebration. But when this wedding celebration begins, we know that there isn't an end to this celebration. We will never go home from this. We are the Word of God. Promises eternal joy for ourselves when we are able to believe to the end. Dear listeners of God's Word, I would like to still speak to you of children and of families of children. Beforehand, I was very worried and timid, and that could I even speak of this, of the children, and of accepting children. It's a beautiful matter, but it's also a sensitive topic. This summer, I have rejoiced of this, when we have spoken much of this matter this summer, that children were important to Christ. And I have experienced that God during this time wants that we speak about this matter. It's close matter to me, and sometimes I cry and I'll try to get through this. I would like to ask you, dear father and mother of a big family, have you rejoiced of your children? Have you rejoiced of your children? And I am certainly sure that much joy has been there. We have rejoiced. We have a big family. It's not a secret to everyone that we have 14 children, 3 girls, and 11 boys. They are big and they are small. And we know that some of you have the same amount, some have a little less, and some have more. I don't say this that I want to compare or be proud of this. I want to say this because that you would experience or feel, father and mother of a big family, that we are in the same boat. We have the same thoughts, the same sorrows, and the same joys when we travel this way of life. In the midst of big families, we many times get tired, and maybe our strength is at its end at times, and sometimes our own desires and hobbies are calling us. You mothers have experiences, especially when you sometimes carry this heavier portion when you are pregnant for these children. It may seem, you know, your health is being tried, and also your mental health is tried. There are many types of feelings. They come and they go. But I have to say, on my own behalf and on behalf of you fathers and mothers of big families, that we are all rejoiced a lot. For one example, I wanted to mention of our youngest child, a 1.5-year-old Vilio, and our family follows him and admires him. He is a very good friend, and he brings, even in the midst of our tiredness, he brings us a great amount of joy. It is miraculous how a small child, even there, though there have been many of them, and you know grandmas and grandpas, that you have seen your children grow and these grandchildren, and they have brought joy to everyone. I would like to ask you, fathers and mothers of big families, also this: have you during this time experienced that you are like sheep in the midst of wolves? Sometimes I often myself feel this. This world teaches about family planning, about the proper amount of children, proper portion of children for us. But we know from the Word of God, and many times we have heard of this, that God's Word teaches that the children are the gift of God, and it teaches us that God is the Lord of death and life and death, as in death, birth, as well as in death. Man has no power. The Word of God teaches us in this matter also that we would remain in the truth and we would follow Christ. In this Gospel of Luke, in the previous chapter, Luke has written how Jesus has said to all, if anybody wants to follow me, that he would deny himself and take up the cross every day and follow me. And he continues still, he who is ashamed of me and my word, he will be ashamed when he comes to his Father and the angels. Dear listeners of God's Word, when we hear, do we need to observe this Word of God? Is it true? These are serious words. But they are the words of our dear Redeemer. I don't speak in this way, that I would be a good example. I have been a good example. We have suffered and we have cried and we have rebelled. As a father and as a husband, I have, and I could, that what I have thought when a new baby is coming into the home, I have thought, what will the workers say at work when a baby comes? Will they think that that man doesn't care for his wife or care for her health, but that another baby is coming and has to still have it, birth it? But are you of the same opinion as me, that we don't have to be ashamed and we don't have to worry? That isn't it such a beautiful matter that a little baby comes into a family? And this big family could be the cross that we have to every day carry to follow Jesus. But is it above all this great gift that we can again and again and again, how God sees us, me and my wife, as acceptable parents, that he has wanted to give us many children? And this is also true, that big families during this time are valued very much. And it could be that these positive things don't reach the news today, but we are very timid to bring these matters out. Especially you mothers of big families, you are valued, even though that there are crying children, or that there are the sorrows of our older children. It maybe doesn't seem this way sometime, but often we have received this guests when we are in the maternity ward, how those professionals who sincerely feel that every child who has been born into this world is a great gift and a miracle. And we want to thank you for this important work which you do. But above all, to that we thank the Heavenly Father that he has given us this great gift. To some families, more children are given, to others less. And it's good for us to remember this, that it is not a given that we will have children. I have followed in people this trial that they want to have a child, that when they have the child, then God takes it to him in heaven. When we were driving here and we were near Asmundi, when in a few years ago, that God's will would have been otherwise, five boys went to heaven. When the car went into the ditch, and there are many of you married couples who have this cross of not having any children, and you ask why the wisdom of man is not enough for this to understand. As a psalm writer says, that my understanding isn't enough, that let your will be done, dear Father. To your young father and mothers, we want to be supporting you. I pray above all for positive outlooks and to trust that every moment of life is in the hands of God. And these his greater plans we cannot always understand. God will give us power and rich blessings, abundant blessings. And we also remember this, that the Almighty God is so wise, and he is able to give the correct amount for our life. Everybody has their own joys and sorrows of life, and we want to be content in God's guidance and will. Accepting children as you, fathers and mothers, have had to make some painful decisions, and you have accepted the instruction of the professionals and prayed for wisdom from God. And God, through his Spirit, has been supporting you and strengthening you. Above all, remember this, that the kingdom of God is a kingdom of grace and forgiveness. In many ways, we transgressed against each other and God. None of us is without sin. And those of you who feel that you have gone against the will of God in each other, that you can lift your gaze from your own heart. Dear brother and sister, don't look into your own hearts as we sing in this beautiful song. Grace and forgiveness is offered. You can come with a free mind. Or the bigger or smaller transgressions, you have permission to believe in Jesus' name and blood, and his atoning in his atonement blood, which there is not too big or too small that the grace of God would not wash away. And today we can rejoice of this, that your sins, name, and my name are written in the book of life in heaven as a joyous and happy memory. And we can continue this journey. And in the midst of this group, we can once reach that joyous joy of heaven eternally. And you who experience this or feel this, that your name is not in the book of life in heaven, that this grace and forgiveness is offered to you here at these services. If you consider, is this a fitting time? Or should I move it to the next coming days? God's word gives some clear instruction and time frame. And it teaches in this way. The schedule is this, that when you hear my call, be brave and repent. And this gospel belongs to everyone. And you can believe this sin of unbelief forgiven in Jesus' name in atonement blood. I would like to ask for myself. I was tempted of much, and it feels that I have done wrong against the kingdom of God when I have feared this and distressed over this turn of speech. Do I have permission to believe my sins forgiven? And so I want to believe with you. In Jesus' name, amen.